Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, August the 5th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today. We're grateful for the opportunity that it affords us, and we recognize that your love is great in our hearts. We ask that you would continue to give us the direction in which you would have us walk, so that our path might be made clear, and those who see us might follow you in everything that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we look at The Light of the World, Part 3. The Light of the World, Part 3. And we take a look at John chapter 8, beginning at verse 12, and going through to verse 20. The topic again, The Light of the World, Part 3. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 12. Now remember, before this, we talked about the light of the world, and Jesus described his apostles and his disciples as being the light of the world. What is interesting about John chapter 8 and verse 12 is this. Listen, beginning at verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Signs of the Times, August the 15th, 1900, and paragraph 8 says this. To the Jewish teachers, Christ seemed only an impostor. They could see only the human side of his character, for in their pride they had overlooked the prophecies relating to the humiliation of the Messiah. They did not believe that he was to come to the world without earthly glory. That a man like themselves should make such claims was something they could not tolerate. Again and again, Christ had tried to show the Jewish leaders the relation which he sustained to the human family. And as he saw the lights which shone in the temple court, he made another attempt. But their prejudice and unbelief came at once to the front. Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true, they said. On one occasion, Christ had said, If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. He meant that if he came bearing witness only to advance his own interest and glorify himself, they would be justified in not crediting his testimony. To their charge at this time, however, he answered, Though I bear witness of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man, and yet if I did judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. At another time he said of the Jewish leaders, If I had not done among you the works which none other man did, they had not sinned, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. If the scribes and Pharisees had received the testimony borne by so many in regard to Christ's work, if with a teachable spirit they had searched the scriptures to see if his claims were in accordance with prophecy, they would have been enlightened and would have recognized Jesus as the light of the world. But self-righteousness and self-sufficiency, they received instead the suggestions of one who was expelled from heaven for self-seeking. Instead of searching the scriptures, they opened their hearts to evil imaginings. Determined not to believe that Christ's claims were just, they resisted every conviction which his words sent home to their hearts. Christ looked with sadness upon the deceived multitude who, while rejoicing in the representation of the light which had led them through the wilderness, were rejecting and turning from the true light. With pitiful blindness. What strange inconsistency. Standing as he did in the very shadow of the cross, Christ longed to save the people from the doom to which they were hastening. But as he lifted up his voice in earnest accents of entreaty, the Jewish leaders watched him with cruel malice, hoping to hear him say something by which they could condemn him. They had departed from the word of God, and when the truth revealed itself, they were ready, under Satan's directions, to attack it. Why did not the priests and rulers recognize Christ? Simon took the infant Jesus in his arms and said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Why did not the Jewish teachers search the scriptures, beginning at Moses and the prophets, and carefully studying the types and shadows which pointed to Christ? How easily they could have traced out the prophecies concerning his mission. But they read God's word as those who understand it not. And the prince of darkness helped them not to see in Jesus the promised Messiah. Under the guidance of Satan, they drifted into darkness and unbelief. The world's Redeemer was not to come the first time surrounded by the host of heaven, for human beings would not have been able to bear the light. It was necessary that Christ should humble himself and become a man of sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Thus plainly had the Messiah been set forth in prophecy. But the Jewish leaders did not want to understand these words. They believed not in the Christ represented in the scriptures, but in a Christ of their imagination, who, they claimed, would come with great power to conquer every nation and put down all authority but the authority of the Jews. They looked for a Messiah who would reign as a temporal prince in Jerusalem and who would exalt the Jews above every other nation. Christ did not come according to their ideas, and therefore they refused to receive him. You cannot tell whence I come and whither I go, Christ said to them. Virtually, he told them that they had no desire to know whether he came and whence he came. They had closed the eyes of their understanding to the evidence which again and again he had given them. You have allowed prejudice and imagination to control you, he said. You may claim to have authority over the people by virtue of your piety. You may pride yourself on your superiority and your knowledge of God, but you do not know the Father, and therefore you do not know me. For to know the Father is to know me. It is your lack of a true knowledge of me that destroys your spiritual eyesight. I lay down my life that I might take it up again, he said. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. The Savior could have avoided the suffering and death which he endured. Had he so chosen, he might have left the human race to the consequences of their apostasy, but in counsel with the Father, he pledged himself to secure the salvation of every human being. An irrevocable covenant was made between the Father and the Son. Christ must go forward and finish the work which he had undertaken, or all the world would perish. Christ's death on the cross was one of willing obedience, else in it there would have been no merit, for justice would not punish in the place of the sinner an innocent being who was unwilling to bear the penalty. It was the Savior's full and free acceptance of the penalty that made his sacrifice wholly acceptable in every point. So the sinner must freely surrender his own will to God and accept Christ as his substitute and surety. He must rely upon him as the only one who can change a sinner to a saint. God calls upon us to acknowledge our guilt and accept pardon from Christ, revealing our sincerity by copying his way and doing his will. Of the one who does this, the word is spoken, you are complete in him, not having your own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of Christ by faith. Whither I go, ye cannot come, Christ says. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? The answer came clear and decided. Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. The wily spies upon Jesus' track were determined to make him state in specific terms that he was the promised Messiah. The false ideas of the Messiah with which Satan had filled their minds, they had presented to the people, so that the general idea of what Christ should be was very different from the representation given in prophecy. If they would provoke him to make a claim that he was the Messiah, they could work upon the minds of the Jews to pronounce him an impostor. Who art thou? They asked. And Christ answered, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Christ read the thoughts of his enemies and did not answer as they wished him to answer. He did not attempt to prove his messiahship, but spoke of his relation to God. He accused the Jews of not knowing the Father. Their opposition to his work was the result of this lack of knowledge. They understood that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto him, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. His words made a deep impression upon many minds. For as he spoke, divinity flashed through humanity, and a convincing power attended the truths he uttered. Many were unconsciously imbued with the heavenly influence which surrounded Christ. What a powerful message given with the words of Christ. And that conversation is worth our rereading and understanding and meditating upon. Then spake Jesus unto them, says verse 12, saying, I am the light of the world. Now, as I said before, remember, we were talking before where he spoke to the disciples, and he's speaking to people and he's telling them, you are the light of the world. In other words, you're supposed to go forward and let the world see who you are. But now he is explaining to them the light that is shining through them. I am the light of the world, he says. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In other words, you follow me, says Christ, and the light that I am will shine through you. So frequently today we find ourselves in the same situation as the Pharisees found themselves. And even though we have a record of Christ's life in the Word, there are those who do not embrace his truth as they ought. They claim to. They pretend to. But they do not. In fact, their lives repeat what the Pharisees said in John chapter 8 and verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. That record is not true. They claim that they can work out their own salvation, that they can decide upon what needs to be done in their own lives. They do not need to be led by Christ. After all, they're not looking for a Lord. They're not looking for a Messiah that is going to let them pass through some trials and experience some difficulties. They want a Messiah who, when they speak, he does exactly what they say. He follows their word. When they fall on their knees and they pray, Jesus must do what they say. When in actual fact, what God does so often is gives us an opportunity to learn more about him and to become stronger and be more faithful according to his will. So like the Pharisees, we say, you beareth record of thyself, but their record is not true. Verse 14 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You do not know why I am allowing you to pass through the difficulties that you're passing through. You do not know why I'm allowing the challenges to come upon you. I am allowing that to happen in your life today. And yes, I heard your prayer. I heard your prayer this morning. I heard your prayer in the middle of the day. And now I'm hearing your prayer at the end of the day. And I'm not going to go in that direction that you're saying I should go yet. I'm allowing you to pass through this difficulty so that you might grow in grace and that your life might become strong in faith and the spiritual muscles in your life might be strengthened. Sometimes we look at the Jews and we think to ourselves, wow, what a people. How could they not know? How could they not know that this was Christ? After all of what he's done before, how could they not know? We look at the man by the pool who was healed, not remembering that the man had been by that pool for many years before he was healed. We look at the woman who was with the issue of blood, who was healed when she touched the garment, not realizing that she had been sick for years prior to that, 12 years. And when we begin to think of Christ and we begin to talk to him, we begin to believe that he follows our command, that he must do what we say when we say it. And if he doesn't do what we say when we say it, then how can he possibly be Christ? His record is not true. If I ask him to do something tomorrow and it's not done tomorrow, thy record is not true. Today we are learning an important lesson here as Christ describes himself as being the light of the world. And the most important part about that is that that light which he is must shine through us. We must trust him. We must allow him to do the work within us that needs to be done. The challenges that we meet every day, the frustration that we encounter every day might not even be the biggest thing in our lives. The challenges and the frustrations that we meet are small compared to the life, the kind of character that we need to develop. God is focused on the character. He wants us to develop faith. He wants us to get to the place in our lives where we trust him implicitly and where we allow him to do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves, so that we are strengthened. And as I've said before, where our spiritual muscles are developed, so that when we hear his voice and we are confronted by the enemy and we pass through some difficult things, we know that he is with us because he has said that he is with us. as he was with the scribes and the Pharisees, walking with them day by day in the temple. He was there. As a matter of fact, he was that godly presence in the sanctuary. That sanctuary in which they worshiped God, he was that holy presence there, which they did not even recognize. The same applies to our lives today. He is that godly presence in our lives, in spite of the difficulties that we encounter, in spite of the challenges that we face, in spite of the fact that we need to grow in grace. In fact, his presence is that which allows us to grow in grace. It is that light that shines in us and through us and for us. Then said Jesus unto them, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Verse 19 says, Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. The day God is calling us to know him, to understand him and to trust him, to allow him to do the work within us that needs to be done, not to just follow our instruction, our demands, but to do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves, so that we might grow in grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are the light of the world, that you are our light, that you are that light that shines in our hearts and gives us an opportunity to become that which you would have us be. We ask, Lord, that you would give us the strength that is necessary so that we might walk according to your will and that we might be transformed in a way that only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, August the 5th, 2020.